And for our sermon, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. It's Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll be reading verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak.
Let's pray. God of grace and mercy, we're so thankful that we have the privilege of gathering as your people in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and with your holy word. God, we pray that you would give us hearts that are truly thankful for a word that instructs us about how to live as your people as we wait for Jesus to come back. Lord God, give us just eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that want to do what your word says. Thank you for the provision that you've made for us in Jesus Christ in saving us. And thank you for the provision you've left us with in giving us armor that we might stand and that we might do the work that you've left us here to do. And we pray, God, that we would do it courageously and yet in full dependence, not on us, but on you, on your strength, on your might. So, Lord God, help us today to be people who pray. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are coming to the end of this part of chapter 6 of Ephesians. This section, verses 10 through 20, is what we call the armor of God. At least we speak of it as referring to the armor of God. And what we think about when we think about the armor of God is that we are on God's side. We are on God's team, as it were, but really this is a battle analogy, so there's a war going on. We were first slaves to sin, so we were on God's enemy's side, and the Lord saved us and put us on his team, put us on his side, and he said, you know, the powers of darkness are not happy about you joining our side, and so you need to know that they're out to get you, and I'm going to equip you with this armor. And so this armor is not just a uniform that says, I'm not on your team, I'm on his team. It's the sort of thing that you need because someone wants your soul to go to hell if possible. And yet the Lord says, this person is mine and I want them to stand. I don't want to see them wander away or falter in any way. I want them to stand firm. And maybe this would be a time for you to think about people that you know that really haven't done this. People that you know who once sat in the pew next to you and you haven't seen them in church for 10 or 20 years. And so we see that this is serious business. The Lord wants us to stand. And what we want to see that this passage in particular is emphasizing to us is that if you are going to stand, you are going to need, yes, the armor that the Lord has given you, but you're going to need the Lord who gave you the armor. And this passage is filled with prayer, calls to pray. So we must be, as those saved by Jesus, going to heaven because of Jesus, waiting for Jesus to come back and get us, we need to be those who pray knowing that there's a war going on and that the only way that we'll be safe is by the Lord's protection. It's by His help that we've made it this far, and only by His help will we make it home. We must be people who pray. And so our text today and our theme today is to act and pray in ways consistent with you getting armor. Right? You have armor for a reason. And you're supposed to act and pray in a particular way. So our first point, I have 3 points. The first point is to have alert prayer while you wear armor. The second point is to earnestly pray for other people wearing armor. And then the third point is what I just mentioned. We need to recognize we were given armor for a reason. So we want to act and pray in a way consistent with we are people who have armor on, who needed armor, who our Lord said, I'm giving you armor because you need armor. You're in battle. You wrestle against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. Do you not recognize this? Has He so captured you that you're just uselessly sitting on the sideline with really not getting anything helpfully done? Are you a prisoner of war and don't realize it? Are you useful to the captain of the army? First point then, alert prayer while in armor. You wear armor. And one of the best things you can do wearing the armor of the Lord is to pray. Chapter 6, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit. So it begins with the word prayer. Praying at all times in the Spirit with, how would you pray? With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Prayer then has a prominence in this section. And as a matter of fact, we might say that in this section, prayer is the most prominent thing. Right? Pray with prayer and supplication. It's like it's a strong emphasis. And by the way, supplication is almost, if in other parts of the Bible, when the word supplication shows up, it actually is translated prayer. So it's like praying with prayer and prayer. Make sure you pray. There's just no way to more emphasize just make sure you're praying, right? You've got a shield, you've got a breastplate, you've got a sword, but the thing I want to, I say each of those things once, what I want you to know, and I say it again and again, is pray, pray, pray. And so this is the way it's supposed to strike us. We need to pray. He piles up words to tell us to pray. And what He's doing then is saying, again, you need the armor I gave you, but more than that, you need the one who gave you the armor. I wonder today how prayerfully you are standing, if in fact you're standing. I also want you to think about who needs prayer the most. One of the things that comes up in this passage when we think about, I don't know how you think about war, but a lot of us when we think about war or battle or something like that, we like to think of the champions, right? Think of that story of David and Goliath, right? Like, there's a bunch of people standing behind, and we're all focused on Goliath, the strong one, and then David going out. And we've got these heroes, the strongest, maybe, we might say, especially in Goliath's case, right? The strongest of his entire army. But a lot of times when we tell war stories, we talk about, well, this general did this, or this person mighty in battle slayed this many people, and we just talk about the powerful one. But isn't it true that armies are made up of all sorts of people? The heroes, yes, but just a lot of people you never even heard of. Yeah, and the question you might ask, well, who needs the most prayer? The champion who isn't afraid of anybody? Or the guy who's afraid of everybody. And I don't know which one you are. Maybe you're somewhere in between. Now the champion, he goes into the worst of fights, so maybe he needs the prayer the most, because you know, he's you know, you're standing there going, can you go get them? Oh, you're going to go alone? Oh, that's cool, right? And you just, they go into the worst of, so maybe they need the prayer the most, but they're strong, right? Maybe I need the prayer. I can't even get out of the foxhole. maybe I'm the one who needs the prayer. The truth is, every army and even in this church, right? Everywhere you go, you've got those that are strong and leading the way, and others that are, well, they wish you'd stop saying that we were in a fight. Why do you have to keep bringing that up? I'm kind of afraid. I think I'm going to let everybody down. I'm not sure I'll carry my weight. Again, you don't have to be the hero. Lord, maybe the Lord didn't make you to be the hero. But he made you to play a part, didn't he? He made you to play some part. And from the hero to the guy cowering in the foxhole, everybody needs prayer. Because the fight is here, whether we want it or not. If you're faint-hearted today, if you struggle and falter and feel your lack of spiritual resources, well, know this, you need the armor of the Lord, and you need the strength of the Lord, don't you? May the Lord, as he helps us to feel our need of Him, make of us the sort of people that call out to Him. 4 times in this one verse, the word all appears. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Again, the idea here seems to be that he's trying to emphasize that prayer is supposed to be connected with everything that we do. Right? The emphasis then is on that we all battle, and we have to be mindful of the fact that we all are desperately in need of prayer. We pray, though, as the passage says, in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Here we should think that what we most need is what our captain has commanded. Right? Your captain has given you commands. You need to know what he has said. Some people, when you hear that, praying in the Spirit, I wish I knew what the Spirit had to say, you might think. Oh, if only I could get some word from the Spirit. And yet this is all the word of the Spirit. Every word is inspired by God. And so we should not neglect the word of the Spirit, and then be careful that what we pray are the types of things the Lord wants us to be about. Right? He wants us to be about particular things. Being faithful in our families and in our church. Spreading the gospel, and on we could go about the things the Lord wants us to be about, and these ought to be the subjects of your prayer. What are your prayer requests? Well, prayer requests can be found, in a sense, in what the Lord says to do. The Lord wants me to be faithful here. Lord, help me to be faithful here. The Lord wants me to put away this. Lord, help me to put away this. And so we pray then in the Spirit, consistent with the Spirit, consistent with what the Spirit wants us to do. And then sometimes, though, you just find yourself in a tough place, and I know many of us find ourselves there. Perhaps you're there right now. You're like, sometimes I don't even know what to do right now. I sit down. You'd find me this past week. You'd have found me. You might say, just with my Bible open, saying, God, help me. So you're on your knees with the Bible. You don't know what to do. And I want to tell you there again. Pray confidently because you pray in the Spirit, Romans 8, 26 and 27 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words, because he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Just get on your knees and pray. You don't even have to know what to pray. Just say, Spirit, this would be one of those times that I just need you to intercede for me according to the will of God. I don't even know what to pray, but I do know this. I need your help. I'm down. I'm discouraged. I'm faltering. I'm not standing strong. I wish I was standing strong. I want to stand strong. Lord, help me to stand strong. Spirit, intercede for me according to the will of God. Say words that I can't even think of because you know the need of my heart. In this also we keep alert. Right? We're in war. So we don't just all go to bed. We keep somebody up on watch when you're in war, right? We keep alert. Again, this idea that we have an adversary who wants to devour us. And so the Bible says that we are to be alert. This idea of alert comes up in Mark chapter 13, verse 35. Mark 14, 38. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." See, the disciples were about to face a trial. And the Lord says to them, "Watch and pray." Right? Your master's about to face a trial. And are you going to stand faithfully with him? So the Lord says to the disciples, "Watch and pray." Well, again, this idea then is that we are in a battle, that we are weak. The Lord knows our weaknesses, and that the Lord has made provision for us, both through the armor he gives us, but also through the way that we call out to him in prayer and just speak from our weakness about how desperately we need his strength. Well, the second point is we earnestly pray for others in armor. Here I think of the last part of verse 18, the first part of verse 19, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. So at this point, this is the fourth use of the word all. We're supposed to pray all the time. And we don't just pray for us. You pray for others. Right? It's the reminder that, yes, I'm in battle, but we're all in battle. And yeah, if I am afraid to get out of the foxhole and get into the fight, I probably am sitting next to somebody else who also needs me to pray for them. So we pray for one another. Pray for all the saints. We all need prayer. Everybody here at Stony Hill needs prayer. And Paul is eager then for the church to pray for each other. And he actually says, and pray for me. So the Apostle Paul says, make sure when you pray for yourself and that you pray for each other, and then actually make sure you pray for me, Paul. Paul needs prayer. And if the Apostle Paul needs prayer, I think that we can all agree that we all need prayer. There's nobody in this room who doesn't need prayer. Here we do well to remember how Paul prayed for the saints already. The one thing I always like to draw our attention to is the way that the Bible teaches us to pray. We have two prayers of Paul for the church in Ephesus. We have two prayers of Paul already in this book. One shows up in chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. He prays for the people. He says, I want them to have a spirit of wisdom. I want them to have a knowledge of him. I want their eyes enlightened. I want them to know the hope of their calling. I want them to know their glorious inheritance as saints. I want to know that God's power is mighty, and it's for them and working for them. So basically, Paul is basically saying, I hope and I'm praying that these people become spiritually strong. And I commend that to you as a way to pray for one another and to pray for yourself. That same point is actually seen in his second prayer, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Here, he prays that they would be strengthened with power in their inner being, right? So that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith, that they would comprehend the height and depth and the width of the love of Christ, which is beyond understanding, but he wants them to know more anyway. They can't know it all, but they can know it better than they do. That they would be filled, they would know the love of Christ, and they would be filled with the fullness of God. These are wonderful ways for you to pray for yourself and you to pray for each other, right? We do well to pray for each other's physical problems, for their financial problems, but don't neglect to pray for their soul. They are at war, and so are you. Pray for spiritual strength. And again, we, as we said before, we have some that are strong and some that are weak. We do well to pray for the strong among us, and we do well to pray for the weak among us. We do well to pray that our pastor doesn't fall into significant sin. Right? Paul prayed, asked for prayers. I'm not embarrassed to say I need your prayers. If I'm going to be a faithful pastor, you have to pray that I don't fall into sin. And that my heart loves the Lord more than anything else. And that I won't return sin with sin. But every one of us needs prayer, don't we? Again, you may never become the champion of Christ in your community. You may not be the warrior that everybody looks to and says, this person's going to lead us into battle. But every one of us stands in need of being strengthened, playing an important part in this community and becoming a more faithful and useful servant of Christ here to get the gospel from here and out into our community. There's so many ways that each one of us needs this sort of prayer. This is why we encourage everybody to pray through the church directory, right? And pray exactly in this way. As you come to a face in the church directory, you see that person, you think to pray for them, and you may think of a physical problem that they have, and you certainly spend some time praying for them. But if you can think of nothing, or once you've prayed for known requests, just pray that they would be faithful to walk with the Lord and faithful to live out their Christian faith in their family and at work, and that they would be faithful to share the gospel where they go. These are ways that we have to be praying for each other. Lastly, then, acting and praying consistent with the purpose of armor. You have armor. Why did the Lord give you armor? I don't know. There's nothing really going on here. I've got a pretty easy life. I rarely think about the armor. I rarely think about battle. It's funny he'd even mention this. I think Satan would love for you to think that. It's funny he'd even mention this. Battle. What battle? I mean, if Satan can convince you that he's not really your enemy, and there's really not anything to worry about, and there's no good reason to pray, well, then you're very likely already not effective. You're not an effective threat against the evil one. Like you're meant to be on the offensive against evil, and instead you're posing no real threat. Imagine a soldier in the battle who just sits down and looks at his cell phone. Should we kill him? Nah, just let him keep looking at the phone. He's not going to hurt us at all. If we kill him, they'll think they'll have to replace him with somebody who might actually do something. Just let him sit there. No threat. What kind of soldiers are we? We've been equipped for battle. Are we using armor? Are we familiar with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God? Verse 19 and 20, Paul asks for prayer, and he says, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is praying a specific way, consistent with the Word of God. The Word of God, again, directs what we should be praying about. He says, you know what? I know that the Lord wants me to spread the gospel. Well, he wants us all to spread the gospel, but Paul knew that about himself, and he says, you know, can you pray that I would be a clear, bold, effective evangelist? That's what Paul prays for, or wants them to pray for him about. Again, this is consistent with armor. You have a sword that defends you against the evil one, and a sword that we said last week advances against the evil one. Rescue the perishing, we said, right? Who are you going in and rescuing with the truth of the gospel? Again, you have armor, but it's not just defensive. It's to go on the offensive. So Paul says, well, I'm supposed to take this gospel somewhere. And then he says, so pray for me this way. Pray that words would be granted to me. Like, I want to say the right words. That's what Paul is basically saying. Now, this word granted means that he knows that if he's going to speak the kind of words he needs to speak, God has to give him the words. That's just an interesting concept, isn't it? But that word granted shows up in Matthew 7:7. It says, ask and it will be granted or given to you, right? So the reason you ask God is because you actually need God to give it. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously. Again, that's what this word is. So he's saying, pray for me. You know, like the way that God gives us wisdom. You know, like when I ask for a prayer request and I look for God to give it to me. Like, I won't have the words unless God gives them to me. That's what Paul thinks. Paul needs God to give what he won't have if God doesn't give it to him. So ask that words will be given to me. And you just think, well, Paul, do you think he'd ever at a loss for words? And he's still saying, God, give me the right words. I want to use the right words when I go proclaim the gospel. That's just a wonderful model for us. He says next that he wants words to explain the mystery of the gospel. Now, this is interesting. He's already talked about mystery a couple times in this book. The mystery is in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, he wants to make known to us the mystery, or God has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things in earth. So basically the idea is that God's plan in this world is to unite everything in him. And then in another place, he speaks about something that seems a little bit mysterious. That is that Jews and Gentiles are made into one body. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, that he might create in himself one new man. So basically, Paul basically says, I know that the gospel is true, and I know the gospel has implications, and I want to clearly explain this. And he doesn't say, it's so confusing, I don't know if I could ever get it straight, I'll just let somebody else do it. Feel like we do hear that somewhat often. It's just, oh, that's kind of hard. We're going to leave it to other people. I'm not sure I could get it. And instead, he just says, you know, I don't have to rely on me. I could rely on God. I think God could help me have clear words to share the gospel with somebody. Maybe I'll pray about that. Maybe I'll have you pray for me. Pray that when I go to explain what it means for everything to be united in Christ, and for Jews and Gentiles to be one person, maybe God will give me the words to explain that to somebody else. And I just commend that to you. If Paul prays that way, why wouldn't you pray that way? But also notice this. He's talking then about the gospel. Right? God is taking from people from all over. He's going to unite everything in Christ. Everybody's going to be rightly related to him. That's what God is working forward to. And again, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're born a Jew, if you're born a Gentile. It doesn't matter where you were born. You can be saved in Jesus Christ. One of the things we want to be clear today in this room is if you are not trusting in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, you should know the gospel. We're spending a few minutes talking about the gospel here because we want you to understand it. If we haven't done a good enough job explaining it to you yet, pray that God would help you to understand it, but also come talk to us afterwards. We want to explain the gospel clearly to you, because it's only by the gospel that you can be saved. And yet Paul says, I want to boldly proclaim it. I want to open my mouth and I want to speak it clearly and boldly. We see that, by the way, happening in the book of Acts. It's so interesting when you see the book of Acts, Acts 13:46, it says this, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying it was necessary for the word to be spoken to you first, that is to the Jews, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. One of the other interesting things going on here is this. Paul basically says, I am going to teach the Jews something they don't want to hear. See, the Jews don't want to hear that they need Jesus Christ to be right with God. Right? The Jews don't want to hear it. So he prays, God, I don't want to stand in front of a Jew and act like they don't need Jesus. I need to tell them the exact opposite thing of what they want to hear. I need to tell them that if they don't trust in Jesus, they are not right with God. And they won't like it, and I like to be liked, and I'm afraid to tell them that. So again, they pray, Paul prays, God, make me bold. Bold enough to tell them the truth. I wonder if that sounds like the struggle you have in your own evangelism. Thinking about your coworker, thinking about your neighbor, and you're going to have to call them out and say, you know, the Lord is calling you to turn from this sin. And you say, I don't want to tell them. This is going to be really unpopular. They're not going to like it. Just know that Paul faced that same challenge, and here's how he addressed it. Would you pray for me? Can you guys pray for me? He had already been faithful in the past to boldly proclaim the gospel to Jews before. But now he says, look, I still need to proclaim the gospel in places where people don't want to hear it. Can you pray for me? And again, I urge you to follow that model. If you are afraid to share your faith because you think people won't like it, join the club. Join the club. Who does not need prayer for boldness? Paul needed prayer for boldness. If Paul needs prayer for boldness, don't be surprised that you need prayer for boldness. But what we don't do is say, well, I'm afraid, so I know that it's not my gift. I'm off the hook. Great. People like Paul can do that. Well, again, that's undone when Paul says, I need boldness. The solution to being afraid is not to let yourself off the hook. The solution to having trouble is to pray for God to do what you can't do in your own power. It's just so amazing that Paul, of all people, right? He's in prison for sharing his faith. Why would he need prayer for boldness? Because here he is in prison, and boldness got him there. And he's saying, I'm here in prison. You'd think I wouldn't have any problem with boldness. Can you pray for my boldness today? It's just astounding that I don't fail to preach the gospel that got me in chains, right? Now I'm in chains. I might not proclaim the gospel today. So can you pray that while in chains, I proclaim the gospel? I might even want to suggest to you that perhaps it was Paul's prayers and the prayers of others that God powerfully answers, that explains why he so faithfully proclaimed the gospel in the book of Acts. Maybe it was always God answering prayers for boldness that explains why Paul ever was bold. We don't know that for a fact. I can't make that a rule. But I can just tell you that a guy that you think of as nothing but bold said, can you guys pray for me that I don't chicken out? That I'm bold. And the guy who teaches us theology says, and by the way, when I open my mouth, can you pray that it makes sense, it's clear? Again, those are the same things you struggle with. I'm not sure it'll make sense, and I'm kind of afraid. And that makes you just like Paul. But I encourage you to be just like Paul in your prayer. Right? Not in your excuse making, but in your prayer for yourself and in your prayer for each other. Pray for a bunch of scared people who aren't sure they're going to get it straight when they open their mouth. Pray that we would be bold and speak much clearer than we were afraid we were going to. Can we be those who pray for one another in exactly this way? One of the things that we talk about around here a little bit is we spent some time on this on Sunday nights for the better part of a year. We were trying to say, what do we think God wants us to do? And we try to summarize it in a little sentence, something like, we are to grow up together and spread. We thought that we were supposed to grow as an individual Christian. We thought, this is what God wants everyone in this room to do. Become a more strong Christian on your own. Help other people around you become stronger Christians. And then go and spread the gospel somewhere. What I noted when I was studying this text this week was that, in a sense, all of those things are assumed, and all of those things are the prayer requests in this verse, in these verses this week. That grow up together. I want to be strong. I want to be a strong Christian. And in the beginning, he says, well, pray for yourself, right? Verse 18, that I would have, that I'm in the wrong passage here, hold on. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To the end, keeping alert. I'm praying for myself. Yes, I need to grow stronger, and I'm going to need God's help to do it. So again, it is right that we be those who want to grow in the Lord personally, and yet it is right that we be the people that pray about that. And then he says, pray for everybody else, which means it's right that everybody else is growing too. And then lastly, he says, and pray that we'll be bold to share our faith. Pray that we will be bold to actually spread the gospel. So I want to hold out to you that if we're going to be the kind of disciples that Jesus needs us to be, we need to be people of prayer who pray for every aspect. Pray for your growth, pray for their growth, pray for all of us to go out and spread the gospel. That's the only way it's going to get done. Again, I keep bringing up to us, you know, some might think, well, I don't feel like I'm in a battle. But again, if you're not sharing your faith, I'm not sure what Satan needs to do to you. Like, he's like, they're already not sharing their faith. If I stir them up, they might accidentally share their faith. I'm just going to leave them alone. They're not getting anything done. I hope that's not true of any of us. But perhaps the Lord means to make of us people of prayer. People who know that we're in battle. People who know that we were left here with armor to do something. People who feel though our own weakness to do it on our own and just pray, God, use us anyway. Make us bold, make us clear, help us. Help my sister across the room who also is struggling just like I am. May God be pleased to address us today with his plan for us and to put in our hearts not only the idea that we need to pray, but hearts that actually do pray. I pray that he blesses this preaching of the word in our hearts in just that way today. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you have given us work to do. You've left us not just with an idea that you'll come back one day, but with armor. Because we're in a battle. And that you've left us here to be useful. Thank you, God, for showing us that you mean for us to be faithful soldiers for Jesus Christ. Lord God, thank you for showing us that even our champions, even the Pauls of the Bible, needed just prayer, your power, your help to speak the gospel clearly and to speak the gospel boldly. Lord God, if Paul needed that, of course we need that. May this thought find root in our hearts that we might pray fervently for our own faithfulness And that as you stir us up to be people, men and women of prayer, that we pray for the faithfulness of one another. God, we don't want to be ineffective in this battle you've left us in. We don't want to be useless soldiers. Thank you for showing us that we're in a fight. Lord God, make us useful. Make us make good use of our lives. May we not waste our lives. There's a lot of work ahead of us, ahead for a lot of us. And we may never become champions. Yet, Lord God, may we believe that you, in fact, can grow us, can strengthen us, and can make us not the kinds of people that stories are written about, but the kind of people who nevertheless are faithful. And even that will only happen if you are pleased to hear our prayers and to answer in powerful ways that only you can do it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.